Gemma. So, as part of reflections today, we take up some people had actually requested because tomorrow is Holi festival. So, the thing is that people, when mother was asked about festivals, so why do we have festivals? Mother gave a very three-word reply. Men like festivals. And that in a way is a very profound, it speaks of many things. People can use this statement either ways. People interpret men like festivals as divine does not like festivals. Or people look at it as something which is, you know, derogatory and we should not involve in festivals. But long back in one of the early writings of Sri Aurobindo, he explains why festivals are there. He even says why they should be there. But of course, we must understand the context is during the Vande Mataram days. So if you look at Sanatana Dharma exists on many levels and it caters to all kinds of layers of humanity. And at the same time, it is not just about attaining God within, but about manifesting God in outer life. So that's how it starts. What happens today is a different thing, but we should know it thing's origin. That's why nowadays we also speak about the spirit of a festival. Spirit of Holi, spirit of Christmas, etc., etc. So it starts with a particular truth which is behind whatever is going to happen later on. It connects it with some legends, some stories. We may call the word myth or whatever way we look at it, because myth, it's not an untruth. So it's not myth in the sense that it's something non-existence. Very often myths are stories that reveal to us profound truths of other dimensions, other realities. They're a way of communicating things. Even today, for example, if you hear certain podcasts on, or even earlier when I used to read, fascinated by Einstein's theory. So when I would read articles. So in the midst of the article, suddenly the author will say, for example, and he will speak about the two trains. Now, all of us know this is not, the theory of relativity is not about if you are going in one train in this direction, the other in the other direction, the movement will be much faster. But it communicates a truth. Depending on your speed, depending on your observation, same with Schrodinger's cat. At one level, it's an absurdity. But how do you communicate very abstract things? So to the common mind, they actually draw an image of a cat and as if the cat is really there. And then whether the cat is there or not, it's a way of communicating things which are beyond human comprehension. That's what all myth and stories are about. And if we understand it that way, then this idea that this is true or false goes away and we get the truth behind it. And then they also express this truth because everything tends to, wants to manifest in the physical. This is the beauty of earth. Something has to manifest, take roots in the very body, in the very soil. Then it tends to stay. After all, that is the reason why we see that Sanatana Dharma continued to not only stay, flourish, also because it tends to evolve, adapt itself to new challenges. So these are the three levels. One is at the core level. Second is at the level of the story, and the third is at the level of the outer ritual or activity. So when we look at like this, it becomes very fascinating. And it's often we oversimplify. For instance, the story of Hiranyakashyapu, which is associated with Holi, one of the story time. So one of them is that it is the story victory of good over evil. It's not as simple as that. Because then we have to know what is good and what is evil. What is Hiranyakashyapu wanting from his son? He is saying that basically you must understand. I am your dad. And listen to me. Now many dads today will say, see, but the moment you say Hiranyakashyapu, there is a whole joke over that. Somebody asked a Guruji that according to the story of Prahlad, we should not listen to our dads. According to the story of Prahlad. Says, but if you take another story of Rama, you must listen to your dad. So what is the, what we should do? So the Guruji replied that, well, that is Treta Yuga and Satyuga. Today is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, don't keep the dad in picture, listen to your mom. That's... So when you go back to the story of Hiranyakashipu, it's very interesting, fascinating. This several ways this story comes. So there is a demon king called Hiranyakashipu, and he is a man of gigantic ego. So much so that he believes he is greater than God. And he establishes empire, and while he is wanting to conquer the god, there is a story of revenge going back to his brother Hiranyaksha. But we need not go into all that detail. Meanwhile, God has a plan. See how God changes things. So his own wife, Kaikeyi, she is a good woman. But she is suffering because this man would not allow her to worship anybody. So when the husband is away, she gets a chance. What is the chance? Now Narad comes and he says, you know, I have deprived, my soul is stifled, I can't talk of God here, thank you have come. He says, yeah, I know your husband is away, he will take some time to do tapasya. Brahmaji has sent me that he is not going to appear before him so soon. So I am here to quench your inner thirst for spiritual things. See, so relatable story. So now he starts telling her all the stories of Narayana, Hari, and she is already carrying a womb, a child in the womb. Now that child in the womb is being molded by all these stories, and this lady is having beautiful thoughts and feelings. So by the time Hiranyakashipu comes, the child has become a Hari Bhakt. He becomes, you know, turned towards the divine as Hari. So now starts the conflict. First, his father loves him, his only son. But he says that you must take that I am your absolute authority. I am your dad, and whatever it is, dad is equal to God. Relatable, no? And the child says, dad, okay, fine, but don't say you are God. That's too much. I respect you. You are my elder, I love and care for you, but you can't be God. Now the story, the tussle starts from there. And then the tussle takes to a point where the dad gets so annoyed because of him, his kingdom is getting, you know, people are, he is turning everybody towards this idea that there is something greater than my dad. And he doesn't like it. So it goes to a point where though he loves the son, he wants to kill him. But he can't kill him directly, so he tries a cunning way. So his bua, which is his father Hiranyakashipu's sister, she has a magic shawl. If you take it over yourself, you don't get burnt. So she comes and says, I want to show magic. So everybody is there in magic to see the magic. He says, I am going to see, sit in fire and nothing will happen. And the boy trusts his bua, aunt. He says, okay, I'll sit with you. Do you trust me? He says, yes. The boy goes, and as they sit together, then the idea she had in mind was, as the fire comes, I'll quickly remove the shawl from the son and put it over myself, from his nephew, her nephew. So nephew will get burnt and I'll get protected. That's her intention. But he's protected by the Lord himself, and as the flames come up, a magic greater than the magician happens, and the shawl flies in the air because of some strong winds, and it falls on the boy's body, and the aunt dies. So it's celebrated one day before Holi. We have celebration called Holika Dehan. So Holika is the name of that lady with the evil intention, and so, you know, there is the Holika Dehan. So people burn all those things and greet each other. This is one story. Now this story is amazing. Later on, the father doesn't stop. He tries all kinds of things. But at one point, he gets very annoyed. There is an argument going on. And father says, you say God is everywhere. Hari is everywhere. He says, yes, you got it right. So he says, in this pillar also, built of hard rock. He says, yes. And so he breaks the pillar, and out of it, Narsingh appears. Now a story looks like a fantastic proportion, and but such a beautiful story if you go to the core of it. So what is the core of this story? We can take Hiranyakashipu either as the old consciousness or the ego-ridden consciousness. It's ego, which says, I am the greatest. Greater than God. If you read in Savitri, Triple Soul Forces, you'll see all the descriptions of the Rajasic ego and the mental ego, the vital ego and the mental ego, which says, well, God may or may not be there, doesn't matter, but I am the one who has made the world. So basically, I am God. So this is the ego, but out of the womb of the ego, the psychic being is formed. Because it holds within itself our divine possibility. The ego-burdened human beings carry within them, the mental ego, carry within them a psychic possibility, divine possibility. And then when the child comes, there is a tussle. All of us face tussle at some point between one, the old consciousness, which perpetuates the reign of the ego, and the new consciousness, which looks at world afresh, full of faith, full of love, full of, you know, it sees God everywhere, and it, between them tussle. Now, who is Holika? With the ego, there is the association of the dark prakriti, the nature which does not like this. Why? Because up till now, the ego and this lower nature had a field play. They were enjoying. Now, when the psychic comes, they have to change. Once you accept that there is a divine which governs this world, you have to undergo a change. You just can't continue. So, they conspire to finish this boy. But then this boy is carrying within him another fire than what she knows. That is the fire of aspiration of love for the Lord. And it saves him while Holika dies. And the story ends in beautiful way that why is Prahlad saved? He is a symbol of the psychic being very clearly in that story. Because he cannot be killed by shastras, astras, throwing him from above by fire. Literally it's the sloka of the Gita, Nenam Chiddanti Shastrani, Nenam Dehati Pavaka. He cannot be killed by any of these means. He is kind of immortal. The last test is, you mean in this hard rock of matter there is God? And he says, yes. Even in this there is God. Now if you look at this story, it is so futuristic. Matter shall reveal the spirit's face. But mankind is obviously not ready. So he comes as the avatar Narsingh, and his presence is catastrophic. All the worlds are burning with his splendor. Even gods, you know, are afraid when they see him. Because worth is not ready for this kind of manifestation. And well, what calms him down is again Prahlad. Prahlad goes, all the gods say, you only can calm him. See, again the psychic being has the quality. It is something which is actually in its origin greater than the gods. Its origin is supramental. And it's like a child, and then as it develops, so Prahlad comes and sits on the lap of Narsingh Avatar, and then he becomes quiet because of the presence, that devotion, that faith. There are several stories like that in Indian scriptures. So this is a beautiful story of the tussle. So what is the evil here? It's a story of good over evil. But the evil is within. It's the ego. It is the mental ego. That is the evil. We are looking for evil outside. Evil is the ego-bound nature which thinks it is ultimate. It is supreme above all. And that's why humility is such a wonderful quality, without which, you know, a mother says it's a safety on the path. And mind does not admit that. Even when it thinks of God, all people who go by the mind, you will see, they make a very impersonal, universal God. He is not the sovereign, as mother says. The God that the mind constructs or meets is not the sovereign of the world. He is impersonal Brahman. Meaning thereby, sovereign is still mind. You are there as the ultimate truth. But you have nothing to do with this world. This world is Maya. See, even their mind does not completely give itself. And mother describes that if you approach him through the mind, you will enter into that impersonal state. As I say, as far as the world, it's Maya. So now you can play around or fool around with this idea of Maya. Now that's a different subject. We have spoken about it. I'll not enter into it. But here, there is something greater than Maya that is being revealed. What is that? Even in matter, God is hidden. and waiting for his time to manifest himself. This is an amazing story. So there is one story behind him. And then you have the Holika Dahan as the festival or a ritual. So at all three levels, things are done. The second story with Holi is, what about the next day? Color, it's associated with Krishna, that Krishna playfully goes and sprinkles color on Gopi and all the different ones. And the story is a little cute story because he goes and tells his mom, why am I dark and why is Radha fair? So she says, well, that's how it is. He said, no, I'll color her in my color. And so he throws shamrang, which is, you know, mix of blue and dark blue, magenta, whatever we call it, and colors Radha. She becomes one with the color of Krishna. And then everybody starts enjoying, so Gop and Gopi join, and there is all kinds of colors flying around. Now this story, if you go to the core, and one mystic has very beautifully captured it in one of, the other day I was trying to remember, Holi, it's a very Sufi mystic, Holi khel rahi hai Ahmad Jiya ke dwar. He's a Muslim mystic. But he says that I am playing Holi. There is Holi going on in front of, you know, Ali, Hussein, all this he mentions. And then he says that there is only one player who is Krishna. And we are all being colored and dancing to join his color. Now when you look at this again as a story, beautiful story of the secret of unity in diversity is given here. Because we all want to create unity, but by uniformity. Everybody should think alike. You see, it's why all these brotherhood ideas fail. They fail because, oh, we can see all the attempts. So brotherhood of Islamic brotherhood. They all have to believe in a certain way, live life in a certain way. Then otherwise, you are no more a brother. You are an enemy. The brother turns enemy. Similarly, you see that monasteries, everybody dresses in the same way. They will have the same time in the morning. It's such a torture sometimes that, you know, 5 o'clock everybody must get up. You are feeling sleepy, but you have to get up. You have to follow a certain routine. And everybody. Now, that's not how diversity can be maintained. After some time, everybody begins to become very similar. But as we have seen earlier, that in the ashram, that's the beauty. Ashram is the perfect example of Sanatana Dharma in real life. No outer compulsion, which is indispensable ritual for anyone. But inwardly, only thing important is center is mother. That's what Holi teaches us. Colors are many. They're different shades. See, it's not just about racism. It's of course an antidote to racism. But it's not just about colors, it's about everything. You may be from a rich family, poor family, anything. But there is only one player who has colored us all. We all belong to him. And therefore, we are one in our diversity. See, this secret which man is trying to strive. So we have to discover this one reality, the one self. In human cycle, Sri Aurobindo says, if man cannot create unity on this basis, there is no way he can create it. He goes, that means human race is not ready and fit to manifest unity. You may try talking interreligious faith, it won't work. Because the seed of disunity is in the ego. The ego can be religious ego, spiritual ego, all kinds of things. It's only when we live with this oneself in all beings, oneself in all, that there is a chance for man to create unity. Short of it, we can just forget about it. We can have slogans. Because it's not unity only, it's unity in diversity. We have discussed this subject. So you see, both these stories are so wonderful. But now what happens at the last rung, which is the ritual and the outer action? At the outer level, it gets distorted. How it gets distorted? When the spirit is forgotten and only the form remains. So form remains that people have to play Holi in the evening. They have to do that bhang ka rang, whatever it is. You'll see all this. Because people get into that vital mood. Now Holi is created that people, most people live in the vital. Like Ganpati festival was created by Lokmanya Tilak to unite the Hindus against the, you know, Britishers that time. So these festivals served a certain kind of need of the vital. That's where men like festivals. The vital doesn't feel, just sitting and meditating or doing nishkam karma works or loving the divine within. It needs an outer expression. And that's where the difficulty and the challenge comes. So in India, in Sanatana Dharma at least, they catered to this urge inside. Because the physical and the vital want to participate. They don't know how. So you have the vigraha where you worship. Not that vigraha is only a vigraha. You can charge it because everything contains the divine. That is the logic. So you can actually charge a vigraha or an idol or a murti, whatever you want to call it, with the presence. But apart from that, there is a need for the body to participate in the movement of yoga. So photographs of Mother and Sri Aurobindo, samadhi, not just as a reminder. Your body wants to bow down. How does it bow down? How does it? Body is not happy inwardly. I have surrendered to mother body. Says, sir, please something to me also. So what does the body do? It bows down. It feels such a joy. And it is in front of the picture. And when it does it with that faith, the divine is present there. And when the divine is in the physical body, so the body participates in the movement. It has a need. Similarly, the vital needs to participate. Average vital needs to participate. So, see what happens when you don't have these. Do men don't celebrate? They celebrate. Because vital needs celebration. So, that's what I keep saying. Say, there is a need for partying together. So, how do you party in a typical Western world? You go out, you do all kinds of things. You enjoy. You have rave parties. You have drink parties. All this. We also have party. We have Garba party. We have Diwali party. You have a holy party. Now, because it is connected to something which is religious and in the core spiritual, you know that there is a line you don't cross. Now, that's where the problem comes, that people begin to cross that line because the unchaste vital, unless it is tuned to that inner truth. But basically it is that, well, the need to meet and greet. In Christmas, people need to meet and greet. They give cake and all these things. It's not that, Christ is happy or unhappy. You have to live that truth of Christ, no? That difficult. But this spirit of Christmas, as they say, that we are all one together, at least on one day. Like nowadays we have Women's Day, this day. So it is at the most outer level you are reminding yourself and trying to at least remember that truth. But there the problem comes that now in most of these festivals, almost all, only the form remains, the truth is lost. Spirit is lost. That's why the spirit is taking new forms. We don't even realize it. The spirit of holy is unity in diversity. It is taking new forms. Because mankind has evolved. It has gone past. The spirit that greater than Hiranyakashyap, the old consciousness, the ego which tries to behave like a father, there is something deeper within us, like the psychic truth of our own being. So because it is the divine who has broken the old formula and is given the new one. So whether we like it or not, these things are going to go, the outward expression. Or they may remain as a relic of the past with those who want to entertain that and who want to live with that, because it's a whole tire. But in the advancing, as mankind advances, advancing march of civilization, they will drop off. But the spirit will remain. Unity in diversity will remain. It will take new forms. One of the newest form of unity in diversity and of the death of the old consciousness and birth of the new is Ashram and Auroville. If you understand that, then life would be very simple. No one way of life. But there is a core. No one way of life doesn't mean living like vagabonds and no. At the center, in the story of Holika Dehan, at the center is your psychic being. This is the core of the age of truth, where you are not living by any outer moral code or parental guidance or anything, but it doesn't mean you are doing whatever you feel like doing. You are being guided more and more by your psychic being. And that is the Satyug. And in the other story, you want to create unity? You have to discover the oneself. You can't create unity without that in diversity. So Auroville and ashram also. In ashram, at one level, it's a little easier because it's turned towards the personal manifestation of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. So it becomes very easy. Though, you know, still people feel. But by and large, it's easy. In Auroville, because the divine has opened doors to it, it is very wide. So it becomes a little more difficult. But the realization also, when it takes place, will be far more, with far-reaching consequences. So, today's Holika Dahan, let's burn the ego and listen to the psychic being within us. And if we don't have it, let's discover it. That is Holika Dahan, burning away the old consciousness. Several places Mother has said, what can burn it? It is the fire of aspiration. And tomorrow, holy day, let's see in whatever form, appearance, anyone comes, let's see in all of them the one divine expressing in countless ways. Chema.